Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
The gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
We have Greg Lawson, the, what do we call him, psychic detective, are you, Greg?
I've been known as the paranormal detective.
Yeah. Well, that's even more psychic. The paranormal detective, Greg Lawson, joins us because he's done a forensic analysis of, believe it or not, the testimony from Roswell. And it's contained in a book called The Roswell After Action Report, which our guest co-host Tim Swartz and myself read. Tim, before we talk about the book with Greg, you guys finished up a book that was started by Tim Beckley before he passed this mortal coil. Can you tell us more about that?
Sure. Well, the book is called The Dulce Warriors. This book is based on all of the, what would you call it, mishigash? Surrounding the whole idea that there is a secret underground base at Dulce, New Mexico, which is this little town, just really out in the middle of nowhere. Allegedly, this underground base is manned by a combination of humans and aliens, all part of some secret treaty that was cut in the 1950s. And you could bring in Roswell as well, because allegedly this all started because of some crashed extraterrestrial spaceship at Roswell in 1947.
I just have one comment to make here before we get into what led Greg to do this forensic analysis in the Roswell After Action Report. If a flying saucer really crashed in Roswell, why didn't E.T., assuming it is E.T., do something about it? Why would they allow it to happen?
Well, that's just one of thousands of questions that have been asked around the whole UFO scenario, because let's not forget that Roswell, if you believe people who have reported on UFOs, that Roswell is not the only location where allegedly crashed UFOs have occurred.
Well, that would be another subject for another day. I will tell you, of course, that I don't necessarily believe Aztec to be that particular case for many reasons that I've cited. In any case, Greg, you've read about the Roswell case for many years. There have been how many hundreds, thousands of articles on the subject, a number of books from Don Schmidt, Tom Carey, and Kevin Randall, and many others. Why did you decide you needed to get involved in that?
Because obviously I'm mentally ill in some form or fashion, I guess. You know,
he admits it.
Anybody who decides they're going to actually put on paper their views, opinions about Roswell can expect to be just destroyed by everybody else. Because if you have any dissenting view or another view or a different perspective, as Kevin Randall would say, yeah, you can just expect for people to come out of their basements, out of their closets and everything else and just tear you apart. So I've been interested in spaceships, you know, extraterrestrial stuff since I was, 5 or 6 years old. I had an Air Force pilot live next door to me, and I was very aware of what he did when I was 5. And also, we lived in a flight pattern of Bergstrom Air Force Base at the time, which was a SAC command and a strategic air command. So there was a lot of aircraft flying around, and I would see weather balloons and things like that, which look very strange late in the day when you have those long sun rays as the sun is setting behind the horizon. I was just always interested in it, and I'm kind of a Star Trek guy. I kind of grew up with Captain Kirk being my pseudo father for, you know, an hour a day, every day after school. And so I just became very interested in it. And as I became an adult, I remember it, I may have seen the first episode, or it might have been a rerun of Unsolved Mysteries and some other things, you know, back in the late 80s, early 90s, talking about Roswell. And so that spurred my interest even more. And then in 94, 95, 96, somewhere around there, I read the Roswell report put out by the Air Force, or I read part of it. No one, I don't think, could read that whole thing all the way through, 900-something pages, mostly of, Xerox copies of documents that mostly don't have anything to do with the actual investigation, but look very, very impressive, you know, because you have this huge, huge document that is supposedly supporting your thesis, your hypothesis of what happened out there. And my wife had a friend that lived out in Roswell, so we would go up and visit her, and we would coordinate it to where I could go to the UFO conference, or then, you know, the Roswell conference that they have every year around the 4th of July. And so I've sat in, you know, military mind control seminars and alien abduction seminars, crash seminars, all these seminars. And for, I don't know, 10, 15 years, something like that, we were going up there, and I was, you know, talking with a lot of the people. You mentioned Don Schmidt and Tom Carey, and, you know, I Travis Walton doesn't have anything to do with the Roswell situation, but Travis and I are very well acquainted, and I consider Travis a beautiful human being. I think he's a great guy. And as well as Don Schmidt, Tom Carey, Kevin Randall, all these guys. And I've read most of what Don Schmidt, Tom Carey have put into print. Many others I haven't mentioned here, and read a lot of Kevin Randall's blog, and I sat back and I thought, you know, I have a unique skill set, being a 30 plus year law enforcement law enforcement person. I'm currently a lieutenant for a midnight patrol shift in Central Texas, and I have 10 years combined military experience. I was a paratrooper in the Army for a total of 6 years with my reserve time, and 4 years in the Navy as an operations specialist doing air detection and tracking, and as a security forces person in the Air Force. You can do that. You just re-enlist for somebody else if they'll take you. And so I have a different skill set in many different ways to take a look at something and see if I can glean any additional information that other people didn't. And I didn't necessarily do that in this book. I looked at doing this book, and a lot of people kept asking me about doing it, because I have a 3-foot stack of papers and books and periodicals and everything, you know, piled on my desk. And I felt like, the guy in the X-Files TV show, where he's down in his grandmother's basement, and he's got pictures of people and pictures of locations and maps and all this stuff, and a ball of his grandma's yarn. And he's, you know, connecting this person to this location, to this object, to this situation, and it'll drive you insane.
Now we don't want to get into dealing with someone's grandmother's basement. Because my grandmother didn't have a basement. So therefore I was not able to go down there and learn about UFOs. And sure. Sad to say, she died before I got to become interested in the subject. But we'll get on to the journey that Greg Lawson, the paranormal detective, did for deciding to write yet another book about Roswell, and then we'll start looking at that book that Tim Swartz and I have both read and maybe have come to various and sundry conclusions, and we'll take it from there to wherever it's going to go. Okay? And hopefully he'll also hang out with us on after the Paracast to complete the interrogation. And by the way, folks, Greg Lawson will hang around and also join us on this weekend's episode of After the Paracast, which is part, of course, of the Paracast Plus at theparacast.plus. With Gene and Greg and Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Folks, looks like food shortages are here and gonna stick around. Supply chains are breaking down, and inflation is back with a vengeance. It's all part of the shortage economy. What used to be unthinkable is now in the headlines. Are you ready? Do you currently have a stockpile of emergency food at home? If not, go to MyPatriotSupply.com today, and you'll find an emergency food kit that's right for you and your family. My Patriot Supply is the largest preparedness company in America, serving millions of families like yours. Pick up a 3-month food kit that stays fresh for up to 25 years in proper storage. The meals in the kit provide over 2,000 delicious calories a day. That's important when you need to survive. Order from MyPatriotSupply.com and your food will ship fast in unmarked boxes to protect your privacy. Don't wait for permission or more empty store shelves. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com now. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Frustrated trying to get business capital? Want to take the slow process and rejection out of the equation? GCNLoans.com removes the slow, irritating approval process. Instead, get quick, simple funding. Powered by David Allen Capital, 80% of our pre-qualified clients are approved in days. Pre-qualify at GCNLoans.com and get your money this week. It's that easy. GCNLoans.com. That's GCNLoans.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
This is how we do every day. We be grinding. If you love them enough to turn off your music and pretend like their music is your music.
Ah, this is Mommy's jam.
Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're in the right car seat.
Let's play it again.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Tim Schwartz, our guest co-host, used to work with our old friend, the late Tim Beckley. Greg Lawson is here to talk about Roswell, the after-action report, and what framed his entry into writing this book. Greg, go ahead, please.
Yeah, my wife kept saying, are you going to write this thing? You going to write this thing? I had other people talking to me about it. And I thought, you know what? I just need to do it. I need to do a a literary review of everybody else's work is kind of the way I came about doing it. And so I can honestly say I stood on the shoulders of great men. I stood on the shoulders of Don Schmidt and Tom Carey and Kevin Randall and Stan Freeman and many others. I looked at what they did and then my view of everything else that was going on. And then I just couldn't get past the Roswell report that the Air Force did. I kept going back to that, just going, this is horrible, the way that they conducted business. One of the things I want to point out is me being a law enforcement person. I've worked in a whole bunch of different specialized units within law enforcement. And the one thing that I know in law enforcement and conducting investigations is if you have any interest in the investigation, if you have, a dog in that hunt, you recuse yourself and you allow somebody else to come in here and do this. If I have an internal affairs investigation on one of my officers, and it is a serious crime, I will notify the Texas Rangers and ask the Texas Rangers to come in and investigate it. We will parallel what we're doing, but they will oversee the credibility of that investigation. So basically, what we've done here is we have told the suspect, who is the Air Force, who is the ones that perpetrated this cover-up and continue to perpetrate the cover-up, we ask them to investigate themselves and explain their behavior, which makes absolutely no sense. They should have brought in a quote-unquote Dr. Hynek kind of guy that could have overseen what they did. And so I'm taking a look at the Air Force report again and looking at their transcripts, and their transcripts are edited. They're horrible. They don't explain where they are, who's talking, when they're talking, why they're talking about what they're doing. And I just decide, you know what? I'm going to do a literary review of what people have written about prior to that, put it into an essay form, and then do a forensic analysis of the Roswell report put out by the Air Force. And so that's what formulated this book. So this book is different than just about any other mass published book that I've read on Roswell. And I tried to bring something different because it's really hard, right? I mean, what has not been covered in Roswell by somebody? Everything has been covered, except for a forensic analysis to point out specific things that the Air Force did that law enforcement, those behaviors and those verbal speech patterns indicate deception. And so that's what I did. I went back through and took a look at that. And it's pretty stark as far as the way that they approached it.
Of course, now the Air Force's the Roswell report really kind of came out late in the game. I mean, there had already been a number of books written. And I think that it came out around the time that there was, and you have to correct me if I'm wrong about this, there was some kind of anniversary that was coming up. For the longest time, the Air Force had basically just ignored everything, or, you know, all the requests, the books that had been previously written. And then, of course, you had Colonel Corso's book, which, and then the Roswell, Air Force's Roswell report then came out. It just always seemed odd to me, the timing of when it came out. And it did. I mean, you know, the television station I worked at the time received a copy of it. And it just seemed to me, even though, like you said, it was very long, that it was just kind of like just kind of slapped together and put out as quickly as possible.
It absolutely was. And, you know, the funny thing is Freedom of Information Act, is as far as that goes, you know, that was kind of a new thing. When you're looking at these sorts of things, you know, you have plenty of researchers that are trying to get information. The Air Force is not doing anything. Well, they finally convince a congressman to do an open records request, and he does that. And the funny thing is Colonel Weaver, that was in charge of doing the Roswell report, writing the Roswell and putting it together, he just came out with a book. I don't know if you know this. It's called Backstory Roswell. And so he shares what was going on behind the scenes while he was conducting this investigation, and also his thoughts behind it. And one of the things that's funny is so they get this report from a congressman you know, a New Mexico congressman. And this is what Weaver had to say about that. Clearly, we had to do better than a snarky but true response in order to answer the congressman's request, however goofy it was. That's the guy that's going to be investigating your case. He is not taking you seriously from the absolute beginning.
Well, that certainly really colors it right there. That's the road to total objectivity.
Yeah. You know, it's this congressman was basically wasting their time. So they had to hurry up and get this thing done and get it out of there because none of them believed any of it. And so they just wanted to get it off their plate. And it's very obvious in the way that they did their transcripts and who they interviewed and the limits of who they interviewed. And it's glaringly obvious of what their opinion was and how they were going to wrap this thing.
Now, maybe that was that specific member of Congress. It may not be all. Or they may be the sort of people who believe that any member of Congress who asks for anything like this, they are intruding on their space, and the best thing is to just get rid of them.
Sure. It's on a lot of levels of officers in the military like that, they do not want to be questioned, and their arrogance is what carries the day. So I spent quite a few years as an enlisted person, so I can say that about about officers, whether they're Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, or Coast Guard. So not all of them, a bunch of them are great, but there are those guys that, you don't question them.
Well, the thing about it, I'm sorry, I was just going to say, the thing about it is also, these people, I mean, more than likely they weren't in the loop if there was any kind of loop that had been established, way back in 1947. By the time, they got involved, any pertinent information had probably long since been buried.
Right. Yeah. They did a fantastic job of it. Colonel Blanchard, who was in charge of the Roswell Army Airfield at the time, he was the commanding officer of the 509th Bomb Wing, and, his whole handling of it, as you look at it from outside, you think, my God, they're reporting a captured flying saucer and this guy just goes on leave and takes off.
Hey, we're going to take off for a second.
Okay.
Greg, Gina, and Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
The search for a missing New Hampshire boy, not seen in 6 months, though just reported missing recently, well, that search has come to a tragic end.
Cadaver dog and MSP Special Emergency Response Team members located what's presumed to be Elijah Lewis's body buried in the ground.
That's Plymouth County, Massachusetts DA Tim Cruz. The boy's mother and her boyfriend have been arrested on child endangerment and witness tampering charges in the case, and those charges may now be upgraded. They stand accused of telling friends to lie about the boy's disappearance. The Atlanta Braves haven't been to the World Series since 1999, but
he's got it to his feet, throw the first. There it is!
Atlanta's Braves heading to the Fall Classic, which starts on Tuesday. The Braves beating the Dodgers 4-2 in Game 6 in front of their home crowd. And this is USA Radio News. Former President Obama's been hitting the campaign trail this weekend, stumping for the Democratic Governor of New Jersey, Phil Murphy, in his reelection efforts, and in Virginia on behalf of Terry McAuliffe, who's running for governor there. The former president using that Saturday appearance in Jersey to also remind folks about his feelings on vaccines and masking.
The science says it's the right thing to do. You do it because you're not just protecting yourself, but people you love, people who are vulnerable.
A series of gusty rainstorms lined up and expected to affect Northern California for the next several days. In college football, it was the longest game in NCAA history, if you consider number of overtimes. Illinois defeating number 7 Penn State on the road in a 9-overtime shocker. It took 60 minutes regulation, 2 normal OT periods, then 7 exchanges of 2-point conversion attempts for Illinois to end up winning 20-18. This is USA Radio News.
Oh, whale! Guys, whale! Wow, whale.
Oh, that's a big whale. Okay. Whale, whale, whale! Oh, no! Whale!
Tides can turn quick on the water. Progressive's boat insurance has you covered. Get a quote today in as little as 3 minutes at progressive.com.
At least it wasn't a shark, am I right?
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Angie's List is now Angie, and getting your to-do list done just got easier. Between back to school and with the holidays around the corner, it can feel like there's no time to tackle home projects. Whether you need help with emergency repairs or major upgrades, Angie matches you with top local pros who can get the job done right. Browse reviews, see upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Save time for what matters most. Book your next project at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
This is Jacques Vallée. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
I don't know if we can call that imitation almost wanting to be like Bela Lugosi. Jim Swartz, our guest co-host, man of 25 voices. I can't say man of 1,000 voices because that was Mel Blanc. In any case, Greg Lawson talking about the Roswell after-action report and the early investigation about Colonel Blanchard. But before we go that route, I want to look at something you looked at somewhat in the book, but it tends to disturb me more as I think about it. Basically, the conventional wisdom, Greg, has it that the original story, the original press release before it became a weather balloon, was the accurate one about the capture of a flying disc. You would take that as acceptable?
Yes, and the interesting thing is that is not what the Air Force released as a press release. That is what the Roswell, you know, newspaper changed it into.
The original press release said nothing about the flying disc being damaged.
That's right. They said that they had recovered a flying disc, which to me, unless Blanchard was just completely hands off with press releases, and I don't believe it at that time in 1947, much of what chain of command did was micromanaging. Like, nothing gets past me. I am the captain of this ship, and it's all my responsibility. Nothing gets past this desk that I don't have to answer for. So I firmly believe that Blanchard looked at that press release before it went out, and it said, you know, recovered a flying disc. That indicates to me that there was an intact whole flying disc of whatever they thought that was, as opposed to just a bunch of debris. Because you would have said, you know, we recovered debris of a flying disc. But they didn't say that. It says we recovered a flying disc. And then once the Roswell Daily Record gets a hold of it, they change it to Air Force captures, you know, the Army airfield, they capture a flying saucer. So the newspaper men are the ones that really, you know, put it out there that this was something super, super special.
But wouldn't that even imply there that maybe what was originally captured was a test aircraft and they had to bury that?
Sure. It could have been Mogul. It wasn't a weather balloon. I know that. There's no doubt that was not a weather balloon. It could have been the Mogul balloon. It doesn't really make a lot of sense the way the Air Force formulates their argument for Mogul having only one crash site, but we'll digress. And so there's no sense in arguing that because we can't prove it. And it could have been, like you said, some other sort of craft that we created that crashed out there. It could have been an extraterrestrial craft that came in at high speed, impacted the ground, and skipped off the ground like a stone off water, and went another few miles toward Corona, and that leads into the Stan Freeman crash at Corona idea. There's a lot of speculation, a lot of hypothesis, a lot of theory of what could have happened.
Okay, looking at this here, if it's an intact flying disc of some sort, and you can call it flying saucer, whatever you want to call it, how much would this thing weigh, and what would they have to do to lift it into a truck or whatever in order to transport? There's so many logistics involved.
Right. And if there are four occupants, and those occupants are the size of an human 12-year-old or 10-year-old, how much space is that going to take up? You know, was this a craft that was launched from a mothership that was in orbit and they just came down to take a look around? What we did in the moon in the early 60s, we sent craft out there and then dropped things on the moon. The Russians did it also to measure the impact of what was going on down there. So who's to say that, you know, extraterrestrials aren't doing that to the Earth now? And that's some of the craft that we see now or shooting stars or whatever. It could be, you know, like what Hynek was looking at as far as these, what some people would call shooting stars, but they continue at a certain speed, a certain trajectory, and continue past the horizon. It's like, okay, it's not behaving the way that I would expect a meteor to behave. So who's to say that extraterrestrials aren't doing that, trying to measure our atmosphere and figure out, you know, what's the safest way that they're going to be able to descend and operate in our atmosphere? Who knows?
Well, that only assumes it's only recent, as of 1947, that they came here to do that. Rather than maybe they've been here for quite a while. What about World War II? What about earlier? One would assume that perhaps they were already familiar with
what's
involved in a landing approach on planet Earth. And if they're advanced enough to come here from another star system, they could have done a lot of surveillance before they sent any of these craft over to explore.
Right. I like the idea of, you know, there was a storm and the spaceship came and, lightning strike or something brought the spaceship down. And I'm thinking, wow, you guys traveled, you know, light years across space through all this debris and got here and got struck by lightning. Really? What luck is that?
I don't believe that. I would believe
no, I don't either.
More that if it crash landed or whatever, and it was a spaceship, and there's a lot of ifs there, folks, that what would have happened, we'll get into more of your exploration in a moment, but would have happened here is that, like on Earth, they're assembled by the lowest bidder. They've got politics. We don't know that the morality of ET is any different than ours, even more advanced, and that one of them just broke. They had a problem. Yeah. They had to make a crash landing. But then again, it would have to have been a pretty severe crash landing to have, number one, injured the occupants or the craft itself so it couldn't just take off again.
Yeah. Who's to say it's not two rich aliens that are competing to try to get here? You know, it could be a parallel universe and Bezos and, you know, whoever else is just throwing money at this thing, trying to get some aliens. Hey, let's get some aliens to Earth. That's what we want to do.
So. And their equivalent of William Shatner. Hey, but let's just look at this again. So let's go back to the details of the original report, the original story, and how the flying disc became a flying saucer, because probably somebody at the newspaper thought that sounded cool. And then from that became a weather balloon. Let's look at that transition and how you interpreted the stories.
Yeah, so when I looked at all these other books, and they had a lot of contemporary interviews, you know, hundreds of people coming forward and saying they had something to do or had viewed something that had to do with the Roswell event, I decided to go back and let's just take a look at the real people who had something directly to do. There was probably other people that, you know, had some sort of direct involvement, but let's look at the main players of this. And when you look at them and they do the press release, I don't know where in the world, why they would say that they recovered a flying disc, because that would cause everybody to look there. And it's like, oh, what's going on out there? They just reported that they, you know, recovered a flying disc, not that they captured a flying saucer. But anyway, that would cause attention. And then you have General Ramey on the other side and probably General McMullen saying, whoa, 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 we need to change this. We need to bury this. We need to make it go away because you guys just caused attention to yourself. So they have Marcel to fly the material that he recovered at the Foster Ranch out to Fort Worth Army Air Field, which is now Carswell Air Force Base, and they do a press release. There's a little bit of controversy on how that press release was done. And according to Marcel, the material that he brought for Ramey to look at was not the material that is in the photos for the press release, which would make sense. If you have something secret, you're going to want to hide it and you know, release it out of there.
Greg, Gene, yeah. Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, Rockoids.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system.
colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Hello?
Congratulations.
For what?
For losing all that weight. How'd you do it so fast?
ASAP.
ASAP what? What's that mean?
Are you ready to get as skinny as possible, as soon as possible, as simple as possible, and as sexy as possible?
I'm listening.
Then get with the ASAP program. It's real and it works. No smooth talk, no slick advertising, and no exaggerated claims of success.
I've got to know more.
Welcome to ASAP, as slim as possible. Whether you have 10, 20, or 50 pounds to lose, ASAP is your weight loss answer. ASAP targets the abnormal fat reserves and makes them available to be burned as fuel and contains no caffeine or hormones. Order ASAP at wholesale prices or join the team to share the business with others. Visit GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Lose weight and look great with ASAP, as slim as possible.
Hi, this is James Fox. You're listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Okay, Greg Lawson, let's put together the decisions that were being considered when the original Roswell episode happened. Greg?
You know, once they decide to move that material to Carswell, they are in the process of covering up what's going on. So, according to Joseph Marcel, they swap material, which would make sense. If they had secret material, they would want to swap it, so they swap it for the balloon material. There's some other controversy as far as what Marcel said while he was there and what Irving Newton, the weather officer that was brought in to identify the balloon, and he identifies it as a weather balloon, which, of course, what he saw, that's what it was. And so it just makes you wonder back and forth as far as who was in charge. The real telltale sign of the whole thing, though, is Blanchard. Blanchard was in charge of the 509th. He's there. He's in charge of the Roswell Army Airfield. This happens. He releases his press release and then goes on leave, disappears. And you would think, if this guy was working for me, if I was a general, and this is his behavior, he releases this ridiculous report and then just disappears, he's not getting a command. I'm going to probably send him to Antarctica or something.
But you know what? When you tell me this, I'm thinking he didn't regard it as anything significant. That's why he did that.
That's right. And you could interpret it that. Absolutely. And that's what Sheridan Cabot said. He goes, this was a non-event. That's why a report wasn't written. Well, they've lied to us so much. And it's like, really? Was there a report written or was there not? There's so many inconsistencies on what happened. You know, you have an incident that happened. You send your intelligence officer out there coupled by a counterintelligence officer. So right there tells me you guys are going to try to make up a story to cover this over, because that's what counterintelligence does. They try to confuse what's going on and make it look like it's not important. So immediately, that's what they do. So that follows that line of logic. It's like everybody shrugs their shoulders. Nobody write a report. Commander disappears. And the funny thing is looking at it from the outside, you're thinking, this is a completely incompetent operation that just happened. Yet Colonel Blanchard becomes one of the most powerful men in the United States as Assistant Joint Chief of Staff. His career rockets after Roswell. He's a four-star general. He ends up dying at the Pentagon of a massive heart attack. But how do you get to the Pentagon as an Assistant Joint Chiefs of Staff member? You have to do everything in your career correctly. And so whatever he did at Roswell was phenomenal, and they rewarded him for that.
It does seem curious, but I think that what a lot of people fail to realize is that the whole flying saucer thing was so brand new at that time. I mean, you know, considering the timeline of when whatever this was allegedly came down over New Mexico, I mean, it had just really been a couple of weeks earlier that Kenneth Arnold had his first sighting near Mount Rainier. So, you know, I could see almost why if, you know, they did capture something, find something there, you know, right, at Roswell, where it would be treated kind of, you know, I don't want to say the word nonchalantly, but, you know, without the, I suppose, the gravitas that would happen now if something, you know, came down close to, a populated, you know, town close to an Air Force base that had atomic weapons.
Absolutely. No, I completely agree, and I can see many different sides to why this evolved into what it evolved into. And you look at Kenneth Arnold. You mentioned Kenneth Arnold. You look at his case also. It's the same thing. The newspaper turned it into something else. He had these like kind of crescent shaped objects that he described, and all of a sudden they're flying saucers, or they're shaped like saucers skipping across the water. That's what he said, but then they turned it into a flying saucer instead of, you know, it was his description of their behavior, not of the actual craft. And so many people attribute the word flying saucer spaceship to the Kenneth Arnold, that, you know, that's one of the first places that you actually see people talking about it. But once again, just like last year with all of the riots and all that stuff, the media plays into so much of this and formulates our opinions. They're so strong in how that they influence people that are just taking things for face value and not really looking into them. So they have a lot of power that way.
So what about the discrepancies between, you have the report that said that they had found a flying disc, and then the later stories that came out from Mac Brazel, you know, who said that, you know, he found a debris field. And right, it's, and, you know, for quite a while, that's what the Roswell crash was. It was just this debris field. But, and I always like to go back to the original sources, you know, and intact craft was found.
Right.
Or, you know, are we dealing with, you know, like, yeah, both things were found.
Yeah, and, you know, Jesse Marcel, you can attribute him to this entire thing. He's an intelligence officer, was a major in the Army Air Corps, and you look at him, he was the one that was sent out, and he never said that they recovered a craft. He didn't say that. But the press release put out by Walter Haught, and presumably approved by Colonel Blanchard, you know, said that they had recovered the flying disc. So there's discrepancy from the very beginning between the person that was boots on the ground, you know, picking the stuff up, to the supervising officer that did the press release. So immediately, within hours, there was discrepancies. Which is a little bit disturbing. And once again, you could attribute that to a shoulder shrug. This is nothing. Let's just move on. And oh my God, it blows up. We got to shut this thing down. His superiors take over, shut it down. This is nothing but a weather balloon, and don't talk about it anymore. You know, the worst thing you can do about a controversy is continue talking about it. Just ignore it, and you know, it'll go away for at least 32 years, and then there'll be a Stan Freeman that comes up and goes, "Hey, man, you know, we left off in this conversation. You guys just kind of blew us off. What's going on?" You know?
So, it is kind of amazing the amount of time that went from, you know, the initial reports in the newspaper, and which got picked up and carried by, you know, some other papers across the country, and then that was it. And then, like you said, it was like 1979, Stanton Friedman is like, hey, what happened here?
Right. Yeah, and there's a couple of very obscure articles in some defunct periodical magazines that refer to some of this very, very briefly in you know, unrelated articles. But for the most part, yeah, it was completely buried until, you know, a congressman comes in and does a freedom of information request. And that was a funny thing, you know, when they were, when the Air Force investigators were talking to Colonel Krakowski, they said, what we're trying to do is to make sure that we are open with the general accounting office who was overseeing the collection of this data, right? That they were gonna, okay, once again, you know, like Yoda, do or not do. There is no try, my friends. You know, either be open or, you know, don't. And those are the little things that when a, an interrogator or a interviewer or a cross-examiner sits and listens to a victim or suspect or witness story, and they're trying to glean information out of it so that they have, good intel to ask further questions, you look for little things like that. And for a lot of people, that's not important. But I know subconsciously we use our verbiage in a way that will reveal what our true intent is. So when we say clear, you know, when they're saying what we're trying to do is to be honest. Well, how about just be honest? You don't need to say you're trying to be honest.
The book is Roswell, the Abstraction Report. Greg Lawson, Gene, and Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
For listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices are just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.